Well, I'm Mary Mullen. I'm a retired teacher also, retired since 2005, and I've been a member of the writing group for about 7 years, maybe a little bit more. Back around the beginning of this year, I read David Sedaris's book, Theft by Finding. And, you know, I'd never read anything but by him, and I was just rolling and laughing. I was really captivated by his writing, and then for a couple of weeks, I used his journal entries as to try to write in his style. So you'll notice that as I've done this, each entry begins with an observation, and then it usually ends with an opinion or feeling or, you know, something like that. Now, I don't expect you to be rolling in the aisles like I was when I read his book, but maybe you'll be a little amused. Saturday, January 13th. When I was in my 20s, my husband and I were walking past the Kelly Burger stand on the Beltline a couple blocks from my home. A yellow school bus full of kids had stopped there for ice cream. One of the boys leaned out the window and yelled at me, "Are you a boy or a girl?" I felt crushed. I was ready to cry. When I was in my 40s and jogging in the Arboretum, I passed a couple. I heard one of them ask the other, "Was that a boy or a girl?" I felt proud. January 15th. When I came home from my writing group today, it looked like someone had parked across my driveway. It annoyed me. When I got closer, I could see it was a woman with a flat tire. Her husband and another vehicle had just finished fixing the flat. They were actually across from my driveway, so I had room to squeeze in. We exchanged a few pleasantries about good places to have a flat tire. I guess this was one of them. Last night, this is January 16th, last night at the Overture Center, I saw a tree branch textile sculpture hung with leaves, handmade by about 100 different people, each done in the individual's own style. I would prefer looking at a tree branch hung with its own leaves, dead or alive. I knew my companions would ooh and ah over it. They did. For the third time this month, January 18th, for the third time this month, an older thin woman was exercising at the club. When I first noticed her over a year ago, she was very crabby because someone was using the machine she had worked into her exercise routine. I formed a bad opinion of her. A few days later, I caught her eye and she mentioned she was in a hurry because it was her birthday. We traded ages. When it turned out I was about 10 years older, she said, "I think there's hope for me." Now we exchange smiles and pleasantries once in a while, and I think more highly of her. The next few entries are from a trip to and from Minneapolis where we were visiting my partner's son, Jake, and his 5-year-old son, Jacob, who are in the next few ones. January 31st. I woke up this morning to a rhythmic sound. At first, I thought it was Jake furiously whipping up something in a metal bowl for our breakfast. Then, I realized it was Jacob's robotic duck flapping around on the wood floor. My mouth was watering for nothing. Yesterday, we went for a walk. We saw three different little free libraries. One was a very elaborate triple-decker with counterpane windows on three sides, quite attractive. I was hardly tempted by any of the books. Just proves you can't judge a book by its cover. Jake told us that their next-door neighbors had moved months ago, and he thought the duplex facing his house was still empty. But I saw a car backing into the garage. I guess he's not as much of a snoop as I am. It's the first anniversary of the inauguration of Donald Trump. He tweeted that the Democrats, quote, "wanted to give me a nice present," end of quote, for the anniversary. The Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said that negotiating with Trump is, quote, "like negotiating with Jell-O," end of quote. What a birthday present. On the way home, we stopped for gas at the Quick Trip in Black River Falls. As I was washing the windshield, I heard a woman yell, "Get back!" in a very nasty voice. When I looked toward the next bank of pumps, I could see a terrier in her car. Then I didn't feel so bad. As I was returning to the car from a restroom visit, the woman's car was gone. From a pump behind us, I heard the same nasty voice, "Get back!" When I looked in the direction of the voice, I saw it had come from the same woman. Had she sucked the other pump dry, I wondered? The speed limit is 70 miles per hour on I-90. I'd been traveling at 72, but a semi kept approaching closer and closer from behind, pushing me up to 80 miles per hour. Who does he think he is that the speed limit doesn't apply to him? Me either. A line of electric transmission poles is strung along the west side of the freeway. Some look like T's with an extra tick below the cross, making them appear more like an F made like an illiterate kid. Some had necklaces of pretty aqua dinner plate-like glass insulators hung from the crossbars. Beauty and stupidity mixed. Piles of logs are stacked around ends toward the freeway. They were cut to make way for the new transmission lines. I feel sorry for the trees. And then 10 months later on another trip, those same logs are still there, 10 months older, now gray and decomposing. I wish people wouldn't waste what they've destroyed. Just three more here. Back to January 21st. We passed the signs to Mirror Lake. A few days ago, we learned that Mirror Lake State Park is a haven for Lone Star ticks. Another hot spot is Marathon County, which is quite a few counties to the north. I wonder if the ticks in Columbia County get lonesome for those in Marathon County, or prefer simply to bite humans, making us allergic to meat. I learned that at the Arboretum, by the way. We passed a place lit up like a ski hill with lines of unusually piercing white lights. Turned out it was just a Walmart parking lot. I guess Walmart thinks people parking in their facility require the same number of lumens as a skier going 60 miles per hour down a hill. It sure doesn't care about light pollution. And finally, October 19th, 2 weeks ago. All summer I've been watching the Hill Farm State Office building being demolished, bashed by a wrecking ball on a tall crane. It's where I, an English major, worked in the 1970s on the seventh floor as a peon rate analyst. By a month ago, it seemed as if the demolition was finished, and piles of rebar and concrete debris only needed to be hauled away. But even though the building has long been razed to the ground, the piles haven't diminished, and the battering and clawing machines are still laboring like Sisyphus on his never-ending job. Are they as depressed as I was slaving away in this bastion of concrete? At least I knew enough to quit working for the Public Service Commission after 5 years.